Okay, so we want to just do on our union in Christ, and just a recap of the previous week. When we looked at that, we were able to see that, just a second, we looked at the glorified believer last time, that was the previous week, and we established that the foundation is the death, burial, resurrection of Christ, and because Jesus was crucified, we were crucified with him. Because he died, we died with him, and because he was buried, we were buried with him. And the end product of that is that the believer shares in the likeness, in the image of God, and because we are made to be firstborns after his image, we also share in his power and authority. We share in his glory. I mean, God delighted that we, you know, we be partakers of his glory. We share in his inheritance as sons. We are also partakers of his wisdom. We share in his wisdom. We share in his spirit, the same spirit that was on Jesus, the same spirit that we receive. We also share in his righteousness and in his eternal life. And based on that, we are able to see what our responsibilities is to walk worthy of the calling to which we are called, to put on the new man, that is renewal of the mind, which is created in true holiness according to God, and not let sin reign in your mortal bodies. That means we have the capacity to stop sin and to not let it reign in our mortal bodies. And then, of course, to live a life of service and love to the saints, and to grow in knowledge. And as we grow in knowledge, we also grow in authority, and to yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit, his leading, his guidance, his instructions, and then also to evangelize and reach out for lost souls. So that is bearing fruit. We must bear fruit in all things. So today, when we want to look at our union with Christ, and this is often one of those mysteries or one of those understandings that we many times struggle to understand. And this is because you'd ask, what does it mean to be united with Christ? How does it mean to be one body with him? And also the other question is, how can we be one spirit with him? Now, those are two realities that the scripture brings out, that we are one body with him. We are the body of Christ. He's our head. We are his body. We are these members of his bones, of his flesh. Then also the scriptures also speak to us that we are one spirit with him. The Bible says, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. And so by the grace of God, we can be able to see that today and understand what does it mean to be united in Christ, or a union in Christ, or what we call the in Christ or in him realities. You know, you'll always find these statements: in him we have the redemption of sins, in him we have justification. In Christ, that means in our union with him. And you have to think about how, what happens in our spirits when we are born again. You know, when the Bible says flesh gives birth to flesh, but spirit gives birth to spirit, or to that which is spiritual. And that means that when the Holy Spirit comes to reside in our spirits, then there is a union of our spirits with the Spirit of God. And this is what makes the new creation or the new creature. And this is a new being that is not, you know, is not one that attaches and detaches. You know, we often have this understanding that someone that is regenerated, if we were to attach and detach, that means that the moment you sin, then that means that in that moment, then the Holy Spirit has left you. Then that means you need to be saved again. You need to be, you might need to be saved like 10 times in a day. But there is a union that God allows us to still be united with him, and he gives us, that's why it's a mystery of God, that we look forward to the salvation that is authored by him. Our faith for eternal life is only based on what Christ has done. And if we were to be judged by our efforts, we can't stand. You know, I mean, whether it is speaking against someone, whether it is having a negative thought or a statement that was spoken rashly, those are things that by and by we find ourselves struggling with. But then the scriptures describe this aspect of, you know, a sin that does not lead to death and a sin that leads to death, you know. So those are some of the thoughts that help us to understand. But maybe just to read, and maybe we'll read from Ephesians chapter 1. The Bible, Paul writes, we'll read from NLT. This letter is from Paul, chosen by the will of God to be an apostle of Jesus Christ, of Christ Jesus. I am writing to God's holy people, saints who are in Ephesus, who are faithful followers of Jesus Christ. Verse 2. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. Verse 3. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. So there's a blessing that has happened to us, in every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. Think about it. Any kind of spiritual blessing that you need, we have been blessed. It's not a future reality. He has blessed us. And the greatest blessing, of course, is God himself, the Spirit of God himself. If you have God, you have everything. You lack nothing, because he has given you himself. Anything that makes God God, any all inherent capacity that is in God, he's given it to you by his Spirit. He has already given it to you. And the Bible says, because we are united with Christ. And verse 4, look at it. It says, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. That's another heavy statement. He's speaking about predestination. He's speaking that even before God established the world, the foundations of the earth were laid, he chose us in him. Sorry. That means there was a sight in God. There was a foreknowledge in God that he saw our choices in advance. And when he looked into the future, when he created you, he saw even the choice that you will make. And he knew that this one will choose me. And that's why you see when the Bible says, Esau I hated and Jacob I loved, even before they were born. That means God had already seen the choices that Esau would make, and he'd realized, this is not someone I love, this is someone I hate. And he also saw Jacob in advance, and he knew that I loved him because he will choose me. Now, when God says that even before he made the world, it must be very reassuring to you that your position in Christ was known to God even before you came on the earth. Now, it says that even before he made the world, God loved us. That means he loved you before then and chose you in Christ. Remember, it's about our union. He chose us in Christ. And what does he say? To be holy and without fault in his eyes. And I think for me, this was one of the most liberating views of God, because when we say that, what is grace? And I remember I mentioned it when you finished preaching, that grace is you coming to God as Christ and you facing the world as Christ. That means when you come to God, you're not coming as you, that, oh, Carol, oh, yeah, because I've fasted, oh, because I've prayed, I've done 8 hours, now I can ascend. You know, there you go, like, now I can ascend. But
it's Christ in me.
Yes, but if we approach God from the viewpoint that we are coming in based on our union in Christ, and he sees us through the lens of Christ. When the Bible says that your life is now hidden in Christ and Christ is in God, that means that God does not look at you as you. God looks at you through Christ. And when he sees you through Christ, then it's not based on your effort. It's not based on your goodness. It's not based on your righteousness. But in his eyes, the Bible says he chose us in Christ to be holy and blameless. In his eyes. That means it is God's choice to view you as holy and righteous in his eyes. And that is the beauty of God. That's the beauty of the grace of God, that he allows you, who struggled 10, 20 times a day, to come before him if you come on your own strength, you are coming with filthy rags. The Bible says our righteous acts are like filthy rags before him. But if we come to him by faith through Christ, and he sees us through the eyes of Christ, his son is holy and righteous. His son, when the Bible says he is the propitiation of our sins, that means propitiation means he is the satisfaction, that God was satisfied. Like when the punishment was placed on Christ, he was satisfied. Now, Christ is our satisfaction to God. And the Bible says he chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. Now, if you constantly meditate on this, then you can ask God, because you're not asking him to answer you based on you. Think about when Jesus goes to pray for Lazarus to be resurrected. He goes and says, Father, I thank you that you always hear me. And I'm not saying this for me, but I'm saying this for them. Now, that's the kind of confidence that Jesus had as a son to God. And we're being told that we are united with him and we are not coming based on us. He's the same son who came to the Father and said that, I thank you that you always hear me. Likewise, in the same way, God always hears you if you come to him through Christ. And by that, you are established on truth that I am not coming to Christ based on my effort, but I'm coming to Christ based on my union with him. And that foundation is what establishes you to be able to now understand that this is a choice of God. This was a predestination. He predestined us. In fact, NIV, I think, puts it, he predestined us before creation, that he loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. Number 5, verse 5, look at it. What does it say? God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. Now, think about adoption, and we've spoken about this before. God chose, you know the way communication, you cannot, a dog may be a member of your household, but cannot be a member of your family. Because there's a communication that you cannot have with God. With a dog, there's a difference in communication that you can have with a dog. Yes, it can sense some feelings, it can be happy with you, it can do jokes and all that, but you cannot communicate it with the same way you'd communicate with another human being. Now, God is spirit, but he makes humans in his own likeness, but the only way that they can come and access him, it's because by his spirit. And that's why Jesus told Nicodemus, except a man be born of water and of the spirit. And he says, flesh gives birth to flesh, referring to the being born of water. That means human birth, and spirit gives birth to spirit. That is the second birth. Now, that rebirth is what allows us to be children of God. And when you are a child of God, then that means you are brought into the family of God. You know, God has a family. And the Bible says that the Father from whom every name is named, you know, every name, every family is named on the earth. That means that if you trace your family, now, do you know that you're a son? It's not even about daughter or what, it's a son. Because in Christ, we are all sons, male and female, we are all sons. And we are brought into God's family, and we enter God's family not as ourselves, but through Jesus Christ. I was listening to a testimony, I think it was someone who died, and he was saying that this, when Jesus came to him, he was so bright. And then he just told him, hey, my friend, why don't you turn off the light? I'm just a human being like you. And that's the mystery of God, that he allowed Christ to ascend into heaven as a man, you know, as a man, so that he can represent man in the Godhead, and we are in Christ and we are represented in that family of God, in that council of God. That is the beauty of God. And then look at what it says, bring us, adopt us into his own family, bring us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. You know, people will argue, hey, are you trying to say that you're united with God, so God has given you his nature, you carry God, eh? God is with you everywhere. God has brought you to, he has given you himself. Yeah. In the Old Testament, yes, it was clear. God said he will not share his glory with any man. But we see in the New Testament, he makes us partakers of his divine nature. That means he brings us to be partakers of his nature, of his glory. He has called us to virtue and glory and partakers of his divine nature. The Bible says this is what he wanted to do. He wanted to do it. Why? Remember, because he wanted to show principalities and powers the riches of his glorious grace. And the Bible says it gave him great pleasure. So God delights. You see, when he comes to Abraham and says, how can I hide this from Abraham, my friend? I know he will be a great nation. He will be a great man. You know, when now it says that two cannot walk together unless they agree, God is already saying that I want to agree with you and I want to walk with you. And that's why even when there are secrets, I want to reveal them to you. He says, I can't hide things from you. And when you understand that, one, you are united with Christ. Number two, you're blessed with every spiritual blessing in him. Number three, he chose you even before he made the world. He loved you. And then on top of that, he also sees you as holy in his eyes. You look at yourself, oh man, you're a bag of infirmities. I'm a bag of infirmities. I'm a bag of failures. But when I choose to view myself from God's eyes, I can rest in the assurance that he loves me and that he sees me without fault and holy in his eyes, and that is only by grace. Now, the Bible says this is what he wanted to do, and NIV puts it, this is what he purposed to do. That means he had a purpose to do, and it gave him great pleasure. God enjoys it. He enjoys it when children know who they are in him. Verse 6 says, so we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear son. In fact, I think he says he has called us into his beloved. You know, whenever we sing my beloved. Now, his dear son is the beloved of the father. That means if God loved most, he loved his son. He loves his son. It's his son is his beloved. And now he says that grace which he has poured out on us who belong to his dear son. You know, when Jesus cries back to God and he says that I'm bringing back myself, thank you for those that you gave me, that I lost none of them except the one that was doomed for destruction. And the ones you gave me, I have kept them. So who keeps you in salvation? Who gives you the assurance that he is going to present you before the Father with great joy and without fault? Who is the one that will wash you with the word and cleanse you and purify you and present you without stain? It is his son. It's Jesus Christ himself. Now, that assurance, I know there's so much debate now on eternal salvation, on losing salvation, can someone lose their salvation and all that. But the question is, when God says, I'm the one that keeps you, I am able to keep you. Now, do you want to focus on your falling away, or do you want to focus on the one who has said he will keep you? And at times, I see it, it's more of a perspective. You know, someone will like you, but they're both truths. Yes, in God there can be truths on two planes, and they're both true, but there's always a higher truth. It is true, yes, you can decide to walk away, you can decide to break the union, you can decide to break the covenant, you can decide to walk away. You have tasted the heavenly gift, you have tasted all this, you have enjoyed the powers of the kind, you can decide to walk away. But if you have truly understood what God has done and you are living with the hope, with the assurance that, you know what, there's someone who's going to get me to heaven. It's not going to be me. And it will never be me. It is going to be Christ. Christ is going to keep us to that final day. The Bible says, verse 7, He is so rich in kindness and grace that He purchased our freedom with the blood of His Son and forgave our sins and has showered us His kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. He has poured out His grace, He's poured out His love along with all wisdom and understanding. Now, think through again. God has poured out His grace. Our sins are forgiven. God is rich in mercy. He has forgiven us. When He says, your lawless deeds, I will remember no more. There is a beauty of God about the things that He has done in eternity. You know, when He says He died and offered salvation, He offered a sacrifice for our sins once and for all. And then He took His blood and took it to that heavenly sanctuary that is not made by human hands, and that blood still speaks. That means that in the realm of eternity, the Lamb is already slain, and salvation, propitiation, justification is available. Your job is just to connect to it by faith, to continue in the connection to it by faith, and to continue believing and to see what God has done in Christ. And you see, this is why Paul writes this book of Ephesians as one of the last books, Ephesians, Colossians. Why? Because he has been trying to bring forth this mystery of our union with Christ, and he's been trying to explain it, to look for the words, until God is finally trying to bring him to that place of understanding. And that's why when you read the book of Ephesians, you see how he describes marriage. You know, he says that the man shall leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And then he says, I'm not speaking of this, but I'm speaking of a greater mystery, Christ and the church. He's speaking of the union of our spirits and the Spirit of Christ being united and becoming one spirit. Is like the mystery of Trinity. You have three persons who are completely united, but they're also individuals. Likewise, also in marriage, God sees you as one. You're united, but you still are uniquely. You're unique. You have your own being. In Him, you live and move and have your own being. You still are brought to a union with Him. You're united with Him. You're made a new creature. It's a covenant. His covenant that He has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. I will keep you. I will present you before the Father with great joy. I will never forsake you. I'll continually hold on to you. I will not, you know, these are the ones God has given me, and no man can snatch them from me. Those are His promises. You, on the other hand, you're here, you're like, I'm not good enough. I cannot. And He's saying, look here, I love you, my child. Hold on to me. Believe. Everyone who believes in the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, when you understand this, then now you walk into the realities. That's why he says, when Paul continues to pray, say, I pray ever since I heard of your faith, I keep praying that your eyes of your understanding may be opened, that God will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation to know Him better and to know everything that is available for you. The riches of His inheritance, the great and glorious power, you know, the revelations, the understanding. Now, our job is to meditate on what God has done in us. And if indeed we are in Him and He is in us, then when we say, you come and ask the Father in my name, it does not mean that we are saying the name of Jesus. No, we are coming as Christ. We are coming as in His body. We are coming in His place. You know, we are coming as Him, and He cannot deny Himself. And when we continually reflect and our eyes are open to see the mystery of the fellowship, that's why Paul calls it the fellowship of the mystery. This is what was hidden, the fellowship, and his desire is to make all men see, Ephesians 3:9-10, the fellowship of the mystery. He wants all men, their eyes to be open to see the fellowship of the mystery, the koinonia. That is the, you know, when you say the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, that is the mystical union of our spirits and the Spirit of God, in a way that we still have our own beings, but yet we are one. And yet it is his power that keeps us, makes us alive, makes us a new creation, and gives us right standing before him, righteousness. That's why David can say, the blessedness to whom the Lord does not impute sin, does not count sin against. Now, when you're in him, he does not count your sin against you. Let us, I think I'll just take a pause there and hear your thoughts and what's in your heart. Yeah. Speaking.
Thank you so much. And I think even as I was listening to you, one of the things I've been meditating on the past couple of days is right believing. Like, one of the things I truly feel, and again, there's a lot of debate, I'm sure you know, right now in Africa, that did our forefathers, who did our forefathers pray to? And another day, I had also some discussion with my mother, and of course, there's this lot of movements back in Africa trying to tell people, like for us in the Kikuyu culture, what our parents and grandparents told us, the story is that we believed in one God and his name was Mumbi. Mumbi is Kikuyu for creator. And Mumbi came up with 9 daughters. So I happened to be one of the daughters. So Wanjiku is one of the clans. And then Mumbi allowed these daughters to supernaturally conceive, and that is how the whole creation started. And so lately there have been a lot of debates where people are saying our story of creation is not very different from the creation of God, because the only difference is the God of the Bible created man first, and then out of man came the woman, and then together, but the elements are there. He is a creator. We call him, there are many names we call him, but the original name is creator. That is actually what the history says.
Yeah.
And now you find people coming back to arguing how the colonialists perhaps used scripture to give people certain perspectives that served their purpose. And so it's been a time for me, even as I listen to all these people arguing and all that, for me, I've actually been taking time to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to me, and that's why I liked when you used the word koinonia, it's about fellowship. And this fellowship, when I was even meditating a few weeks ago, and God was telling me about the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, he was telling me the Holy Spirit is supposed to teach me all things. And I remember a day something happened and I was like, oh, I need this. And I quickly thought, let me call so-and-so, a particular friend of mine. And when I was just going to pick my phone to call, I had the Holy Spirit rebuking me. And he told me, how I wish you were quick to ask me the way you've just quickly made up that decision.
Yeah.
You know? And he was like, why wouldn't you just ask me? Maybe the person I actually want to solve that issue is closer to you than that person. That person with different time zone. And I know they've done it for you in the past. But you see, I'm not in the habit of just doing things. You see that scripture of the Lord, the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. Even today morning, the Holy Spirit was telling me, you don't happen. I order your steps. Everything I'm doing in your life is woven into the story I have written about you. And so God kept telling me, it's got to start with right believing. Because you see, the way you've just said, there could be many truths, But one of the things the Holy Spirit has been challenging me, and I remember when I was in Kenya, there's a prophet friend of mine I really like, and we went out and we were sharpening each other, and she said a statement that stuck with me. Do you know also the prophetic works with the level of exposure you have? And I was like, what? And we realized there was a prophetic word God had given me, and the reason she gave me that understanding was because the first person that gave me that prophetic word was actually one of our friends, an apostle, and we had gone to visit him, and he gave it to me, but what he described, he could not really comprehend what it was. Yeah. And then 3 months later, I meet another prophet friend of mine, and she gives me the same prophetic word, but then she breaks it down because she had an exposure of that thing. So it's like, an example is like, if you have seen a Mercedes, how it looks like, Percy. You know, if God shows you a Mercedes, you'll be able to describe it and just tell me, God is showing me you're going to get a Mercedes S-Class. Yeah. Because you see, you know what it is.
Yeah.
But because so God gives the prophets both, because the two prophets who prophesied to me, God speaks to them through images. So the first prophet who gave me that prophetic, he described what he saw, but we couldn't piece it together. So we now started, of course, praying, but then my other friend said, I feel this is what he's being led to say. And I agreed with her, and we started praying over it. But then 3-4 months later, I meet someone else, and she tells me the name of the thing.
Yeah.
Then later, after that, because she was in a church setting, so afterwards, because I know her personally, the pastor, the owner of the church, so when I went to see her after the service, I said, oh, thank you for giving me this word, and thank you for confirming, and, you know, how does the Lord speak to you? Because that was the first time she was giving me a prophetic word. So she said, oh, for me, God gives me images. So she told me God took me to that place. And I've been there before. So then we realized the other prophet kept describing the same place, but because it's somewhere he's never been. You get?
Yeah.
This lady, she didn't describe it. She just said what it's called. We were like, oh my God. But then now my other friend was telling me, because of exposure.
Yeah.
So the prophetic word can be there, but even how you deliver it to God's people, unless now God writes for you the name, like now someone like Pastor Jerry, who God will write for something, and he sees it written like on a wall, and he reads it. So you see, because sometimes God uses images, if he gives you that image and you describe it, someone will just have an idea. And I was pushing with the word, and I truly believe also the reason God brought clarity through this second prophet is because we had accepted the word, we had received it, and we started praying with what he had seen, even though we did not have full understanding of what it was. But then I realized it's about the Holy Spirit can really teach us all things, but there has to be that desire for fellowship, like you are saying, but also emanating from right believing.
Yeah.
Because if I truly believe, and I know that's why the enemy fights people to see this believing, because even for me, it's something God is really building in me this year. When he says you are a co-heir in Christ.
Yeah.
Yani, you know, it's also difficult to comprehend. Let's also be honest. Eh? You know, there was a day a friend of mine was asking me, Yani, we will become wealthy by grace. But you see, I keep saying, it's if because of also how some of us have been brought up, sorry to say, with that exposure, unaona sasa, kama you've not grown up in a faith setting, this thing also sounds like Kenyans are saying stories are jabba. Like, how do you become wealthy by grace? Like, it really does not make sense, because people have been taught in Africa, you have to work hard. And then we've seen people working hard, not making ends meet. You can. So there is that. That's why for me, this transformation of the mind is so important. Because if the right believing is not there, when Jesus comes and says, buy without money, it feels like stories are jabba. Because you're like, how am I going to be wealthy? But as I ask this lady, my friend, and I tell her, but honestly, let's go through scripture. when Jesus wanted to pay the tax collectors, what did he do? He asked for a fish, and out of fish, there was a coin.
Yeah.
Is that not being supernaturally provided for by grace? Because he didn't use the normal way. Like, he didn't tell them, go and fish, we sell the fish. He went and picked a particular fish, told them, open it up, inside was a coin. So I was telling this girl, like, really, I truly believe we can become wealthy by grace. But you see, unless you have that right believing, and then when you hear the stories of the men of faith, I remember there was a day we were talking with my mom about this God's general who went and prayed with his wife, and God told him, you're going to buy a house. So he asked God how. God said, I'm going to give you money. The guy lived, went to his house, they prayed with the wife, they thanked God for the money, and they slept. When they woke up in the morning, what is reported is they found their house full of money.
Wow.
Where the money came from? And this is a true story. And the reason for me, we were even saying with my mom, the reason we can believe this story is because we know our own prophet in Kenya, Mam Wairimu, for 6 months, her rent was paid supernaturally. She would be told, go to this office. She goes, she picks the money. The guy who used to be the messenger used to think it was Arabs coming. Yeah. Later on, the Lord revealed to her those were angels that were bringing money. So we know God can do it, you know. And so it's not like he can be limited. But one of the things the Holy Spirit has been telling me, Caroline, sometimes you people limit me. There's a scripture by the Pharisee about that.
The Holy One of Israel.
The Holy One of... I need to read that scripture. This week, God was telling me, Caroline, I can desire to use you, but you still limit me.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, God is a gentleman. You remember that part where you were explaining that from the beginning of creation, God had already thought of us.
Yeah.
But until God has been telling me, especially this week, I keep hearing, read that scripture. God has been telling me, even when I have called you and I have set you apart and I tell you I want to do this, if you don't allow your mind to be renewed, to agree to that believing, because it's a right position of believing.
Yeah.
Like, if I tell you I want to use you in this service, you just agree to it and you believe it.
Yeah.
And then you let me move. But Sasa, if you start thinking, but kutaendaje, like why and me, why me, you know, Nikonai, do you know what? We now limit God. So God is willing to do it, but because we are not ready. And the other day I was watching this pastor, I think Tommy Troller, if I'm not wrong, he was giving a testimony and he said of a guy who was an evangelist in training. So one day he went up in the morning, he's praying, and God tells him, like a specific day, Friday, go to this church, go to this hospital and pray for all the sick people.
Yeah.
The guy starts praying. So he starts praying, Sasa, I think ilikuwa Sunday, ameomba Monday, Tuesday, kitu ikaanza kumwambia. Wewe, you've never even prayed for one person. Akapona. Imani ya kwenda hospitali unatoa wapi? So the guy starts negotiating. But imagine he had clearly.
Yeah.
The instruction was, on a Friday, this date, go to this hospital, the ward, and pray for people.
Yeah.
This guy was saying the sad part was he never went that Friday because he had no faith. He kept praying. Then Saturday, something told him, okay, just go and see. Even if you pray for one or two people, because obedience is better than, you know, than disobedience. Then he goes to the hospital the following day, from the day God had told him to go. And he gets there. And he notices the staff are very relaxed, introduces himself to one of the nurses, and tells the nurse, oh, I wanted to see the medical in charge of this hospital. And the nurse is like, oh, he has gone. And I don't think he's coming back this weekend. He'll probably come next week. So he says, oh, really? So who is in charge? He says, I mean, what do you need? Then I can be able to direct you. He says, oh, I wanted to pray for the sick. The nurse said, oh, we don't know what happened. But in the morning, everybody woke up and all our patients said they were well.
They were discharged all.
Now, this guy realizes, like, God had already made up his mind.
Yeah, to
the
heal everyone.
The angel of healing was already assigned to that hospital.
Yeah.
But God wanted to partner with him. But sasa jamaa juye, I may overthink. God decides, aya, you don't want to be part of it. I don't know whoever had interceded. Because you see, sometimes, which is what I liked, there's something you said. It's not about how much we intercede.
Yeah.
By then, God has really been rebuking me. He's been telling me the reason we pray. And these days, every time I'm praying, even on Saturdays, when he gives me grace to just be in consecration, I pray for revelation. That is what I'm praying for. I'm praying to have an understanding of what God is saying now. You know, in the sense of Issachar.
Yeah.
What is God saying now? So that I don't miss on the move of God, because I'm holding to what he said yesterday. But God told me, you're not praying for me to move, because I've already gone ahead of time. Yeah. Yours is to allow me.
Moved.
So we don't pray. Sasa unaona huu jamaa, yeye alikuwa anafikiria like Mungu anamhitaji that sana. You get? Kumbe God is like, by the way, I can still use my angel to release healing.
Yeah.
But I wanted you to participate in it. I wanted to give you a bit of relevance. You would have started a church easier. People would have believed you. Because, you know, people cannot believe unless they see.
Yeah.
And of late, God has been bringing me similar testimonies, reminding me these were people I gave opportunities to partner with me, but they were not willing to have the right believing. Like, I tell them this is the thing, instead of taking me at my word, naanza tu overthink. Hey, but kutaendaje? Oh, but iko wapi? Sijui iko wapi? And then God is like, but the word says my word is sure.
True.
My word is sure. So if you truly believe my word is sure, if I give you my word, you should just stick to my word and that's it. And I remember when I was growing up, one of the things my mom taught us very clearly, and it helps me till date. When God gives a word, Abraham, leave your father and mother and your home, your land, go to a place I will show you. That word has the victory for Canaan. That word has Isaac in it. That word has the children of Isaac in it.
Everything.
Like my mom keeps telling us, when God gives you a word, you don't need to ask for another word to escort it. Like ikikuja, like, so that I remember even on Saturday when I was praying, God was like, I said I have restored you. Your leg is totally restored. That word does not need to be Sindiki's word.
Yeah.
Like, that word has your perfect leg. That word has your beauty. That word has everything in it. So yours is to come into a place of intimacy with me, that I totally tell you this is the appointed time. Or, you know, because it's a sure word. Like, it's not a, hey, yani God was really. That's why for me, I'm so happy when you are talking about that Christ, God had seen us in Christ in advance. It's not like right now, like sasa sahi tumeokoka ndo anaanza kutupanga. It is us who are playing catch up.
Yeah.
Like, he has already written books of volumes, Psalm 40. There are volumes of books written about you. Like, God was telling me, Caroline, I have already called you. I have favored you. I have named you. The thing you need to do is right believing. Because in the kingdom of God, everything is about positioning.
Yeah.
And God told me the reason the enemy fights the identity of children of God is because he knows when you are out of alignment, you start questioning your identity. Am I really a co-heir in Christ? Am I really, you know, you are beginning to move yourself from the right alignment. And because our God is a God of righteousness, he unaona venye umesema tu akituona anaona Yesu. Sasa ukijitoa kwa hiyo position akuoni. Because umejimove. So now he's trying to look you with his mercy. Mercy now reaches you. Now that's why now God has to use his arm of mercy to reach us, grab bring us back. Ndio atulete sasa kwa the right positioning, ndio akituangalia hivi anatuona sasa.
Yeah.
And so God was telling me, you can save yourself from all this by actually having the right believing. I love you. I have a purpose for you. When I say in Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you. Plans for a future and a hope. End of story.
Yep.
Like really, it is full stop. Anytime the enemy brings you a negative report, you say, no, God told me a future and a hope. So this situation is not aligning to that word. And I don't need a secondary word to syndicate it. Like that word is complete. It said a future and a hope. So hope is guaranteed. A future is guaranteed by that word. So God has been, the past few days, God has really been rebuking me about this koinonia, this fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Spend time with me. Because, and again, the whole spending time with God praying is not so that I can, you know, I can move God to do things. It's for me to come up higher to a place I can understand the revelation he gives me. Because the one thing also God has been ministering to me is there are times we genuinely don't have the capacity for what God is saying. Which is why we are saying the prophetic also moves with exposure. Because if you're not at the level of handling what God is telling you, like that evangelist in training, God akikwambia enda hospitali, you start defining yourself like Gideon based on where you are. Honestly, sijaombea hata mtu mmoja. So how, practically speaking, how do I go to a hospital? Like nitoke kindergarten, you get. So you've not built capacity. But I'm thinking to myself, if this guy had been praying consistently, even if he had not prayed for one person, and God tells him this, he would believe it and be like, okay, maybe God just wants to start me from university. Maybe I'm a genius. These days we have kids who are, the other day I was reading about this child who is 16 years and she has, amepita brother yake, ati brother yake alikuwa the youngest lawyer in the US, kusomea Harvard, na kupata law at 17. Sistake sahi ako 16. Na ame graduate na law. Imagine, from Harvard, not just any university, Ivy League, 16. I'm like, hey, 16 umeshafanya law school, 4 years, umemaliza. Na umegraduate. But you get what I'm saying? So maybe God, in his own school of ministry, this guy was supposed to be like this girl.
Yeah.
You get, normal trajectory says, you go to primary, high school, when the college, ukiwa 18, umalize ukiwa
21,
24. Like the wind. akipitanga. So maybe that's actually what God wanted. Nani alisema lazima uombe mtu mmoja. Maybe God alikuwa nataka wewe, nitakufundisha school of healing with a whole hospital.
Yeah.
But he limited himself because he's still, he's right, hana your right believing. Because it's true, there are some people who've prayed for people, and you get what I'm saying? So God has really been rebuking me this couple of days, telling me I have to come to that place of, you know, knowing that God has loved me, because that's the basis. If you know you're loved, there is no fear.
Yes.
Now, in fact, the other day, God and Kwananiambia, but just think of your own practical example. I don't like, there are people who love you. And when they tell you something, your first instinct is not to doubt.
Yeah.
Honestly, like mimi najijua, I know there are people, if they tell me, tomorrow I'll do this for you, I sleep. I don't follow up. I don't call.
Yeah.
So God was asking me, if you can trust these are mortals,
how
much more? Imagine a doubting. Unalala tu. You're like, itafanyika. But mimi Mungu nakwambia kitu, wewe woni hapo iko shida. Because that love of God, you should understand that God loves me so much. If he tells me something, hakuna kitu ingine. Tumesonga mbele. And then now you see the grace, even when you're going to say, you see yourself as Christ.
Yeah.
When you're going before God, the grace of our Lord, because it's that grace is now covering you. That's why for me, I like to pray, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Because what God is seeing is not my righteousness. Hata sina your righteousness. Kusema self-righteousness. May I tell people, sina, because I believe in Christ. So self-righteousness inatoka wapi? It's not a concept to me. My righteousness is in Christ Jesus. Iyo ndio nasimama nayo. So that grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And now the fellowship. Sasa the fellowship is now where you go in. The Holy Spirit. Alafu Holy Spirit anakuambia leo. Leo shughulikia hii.
Yeah.
Because you see, also I truly believe God moves with seasons. So God and the Holy Spirit anakuambia hii, leo shughulikia hii. Achana na hii, achana na hii, time ijafika. Leo shughulikia hii. Shughulikia wealth. In fact, by the way, funny enough, it's 8:30. Do you know, funny enough, about 2 weeks ago, I think it was 2 weeks ago, was it? Yes, immediately after I finished preaching, that Friday. So the Saturday, I was planning to pray, and the whole day, sometimes God just gives me grace to shut down. And I think my initial goal that Friday I was praying was to pray for, like, you know, marriage, healing, word, you know, growth, vitu kama hizo. And I remember, so for me, I always start with worship, and then I tell the Lord, I have an agenda, but if you want to redirect me, redirect me. This was the funny thing. Do you know God started telling me to pray for wealth? I was like, so the first time I'm ignoring it, I'm trying to pray my two prayer points, nagonga tu mwamba na kasema ni mtosa, wacha niombe hii yenye Mungu anasema. Kidogo, the Holy Spirit tells me, put on your YouTube. And then I'm thinking I'm putting YouTube to put a worship song ingine hapo, so that I can pray. I see Apostle Michael Oropo is live. Kidogo, I put him on. Guess what he's talking about? Well,
amen.
Transfer of wealth to believers.
I'm
like, okay. Nikanyamaza. God akaniambia, hey, sikiza hapo. Hapo utoe points. I pray, I finish. And by then, the whole day, that was it. And I felt I've accomplished what God wanted me to do. So I finished the day, I start doing dinner, I'm saying, wacha niangale emails, and then I get ready for the week. The next thing I see a message from my pastor, and he tells me, last night, we had Kesha as ministers. And the Holy Spirit brought you to my mind to really pray for you. And he kept telling me to pray for wealth. So me, I'm like, Percy. But you get what I'm saying? The fellowship of the Holy Spirit tells you what is in the heart of the Father.
Yeah, it's the same spirit. Yeah.
Because you see, for us, that's why the Bible says the sons of Issachar understood times.
Yeah.
So perhaps there is an action in heaven that is orchestrating something I'm supposed to come into possession.
Yeah, that's very much.
You know, very soon. So I need to agree with that.
Yes.
But you know, Nasasa Mimi, because my mind is, I'm a mortal, I'm limited. Mimi right now, if you ask me, Percy, every day, nashinanga nikisema, mi ukinuliza sahi kitu yenye naona naitaji sahi, ninipate buwana na kuyangu ipone. Like, let's just be honest.
Yeah.
That is what is in my heart right now. But you see, when I walk with the Holy Spirit tells me, I know this is what you want to pray for. But this is not what you need to be praying for. There's a difference. What is in the heart of the Father right now is call forth wealth. There's a transfer happening in the spiritual realm. And you need to position yourself. So that's why for me, the Holy Spirit has really been telling me the dwelling in his presence, the dwelling in prayer is to ascend to be able to hear what he's saying. So that I can discern the season. If I discern God is telling me today, pray for this person, I don't need to be convinced. Why does God want me to pray for them? Hey, why is it they're probably even doing better than me? I just agree with the Holy Spirit, because it's about partnering also with the Holy Spirit to fulfill the will of God. So we are not also meant to be praying just our own selfish Cindy, the goal is not just to pray how I'm feeling. It's to be an instrument of the Holy Spirit. So there are times even for me, I remember Saturdays I've been here, and the Lord will just put in my spirit intercession. The whole Saturday, God will just be like, Ombea uyu, Ombea uyu, Ombea hivi, Ombea hivi. And then some of them, God will tell them, will tell me, give them a word. Others, God will tell them, don't even tell them you've prayed or anything. It's fine.
Yeah.
That's what I want. And every person I reach out to, unakumkata wa ile siku you reached out to me, do you know I had just finished telling God, send me help. I kept telling God, send me help, send me help. I do not want to finish Saturday feeling like this.
Yeah,
because I was so heavy burdened. I was just weeping uncontrollably. So I kept telling God, you need to change this, you know, this garment of heaviness. Like, I cannot start a week like this. So I kept telling God, Apana, send me help, send me help. So for me, I was just crying. I didn't even know where the help would come from. But for me, I just kept telling God, send me help. There are many ways you can send me help. And then the next thing, I see a message. I hear my phone vibrating. I'm like, okay, let me check what that is. And then I just see a message. God told me to pray for you. And then this is the word. Oh my God. It was just right on time. So you see, that's why we have to be used of the Holy Spirit. Because where is Ayo? Maybe if you had not obeyed, like God is telling you, send this message now. Now where would you say, Ayo, mimi, I'm telling God, like, I cannot end a Saturday like this.
Yeah.
You need to change this. Like, and you see, the only thing that changes our what our postures, our countenance, is the word of God. Because when I receive that word immediately, then my spirit is like, ah, but God has sent me a word. So that means, and Pastor Soma has prayed for me, that means I stand up, I dust myself, and that's what I started doing. I just started decreeing that word. Nahum, Iyo, affliction shall not rise again. Affliction shall not rise again. I just started telling the Lord, someone has prayed for me. So I know you have sent me help. Because I told you to send me help. And this is the help you've sent, and I receive it. And I went to bed and I slept. By the time nilikuwa naamka Sunday kwenda kuomba asubuhi, imagine I was totally fine. The spirit of heaviness was gone kabisa. That was it. So for me, really, I truly agree with you. Iyo kukuwa na union na Christ, lazima itubadilishe. So that we start seeing ourselves, Ibo tu unasema, we are co-heirs in Christ. We start seeing ourselves as Christ. When we go before God, God is seeing Christ in us.
Yeah.
When we go to the world, we should also be showcasing Christ, which is also another time, I think last month, God was telling me, you cannot just say what everybody else is saying. You've got to say what I'm telling you to say, even when it does not make sense.
Yeah.
So when I say help is coming, you just say help is coming. When we decree to help is coming, usitake kujua hiyo help ni tatuma aje. But nikikwambia help is coming, unarudia tu help is coming. Wow, God, this, like, I mean, again, like you said, it's a transformation. So we just have to yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit, and then anaendelea tu akitusaidia. Anaendelea tu akitusaidia. But I'm truly, truly blessed. Yes, our union in Christ is amazing. God is amazing.
Amen. No, I mean, that is it. That is a fellowship. And has called us to fellowship. You know, it's, I mean, there are things that words cannot express it, but He is so close, He is so accurate, and if we just, you know the way the Bible says the word of the Lord came to the prophet, you know, our job is just to be with Him and that word comes.
It's
just when He says that I will stand my watch and see and watch and see what He will say to me. That means He will stay in His place of prayer, in His place of communion, in His place of worship. And you wait on God. You know, if He doesn't speak now, fine. We'll come back tomorrow. We continue waiting on God. And then the word comes, and when the word comes, it breaks the cedars. You know, it comes with so much power that you cannot doubt it is God that has spoken. And that's the beauty of God. He never wants you to doubt that I have spoken. and he's not the author of confusion. So whenever there's a doubt, just tell him, God, make it clear. He will.
Yes.
His desire. He has a greater desire to be heard and understood by us. It's only that at times our hard disks are full of junk.
So
he wants to
consecration.
Yeah,
more and true, more. That's what God was telling me. The consecration is not really.
You can't avoid it here.
But for your clarity, umesema.
Yes.
So that sasa sauti yake ikikuja una desire.
You don't miss it here.
Because I agree with you. Sometimes we are just full of so much junk.
Yeah.
So if you don't spend quality time in consecration, after God like he speak, you will filter
you'll miss it,
what he's saying against what you're also hearing.
Yeah. Yeah, and you'll ask yourself, was it me or what? Yeah, but God is faithful, and that's the beauty of God. We are not doing life alone. And he says, never will I leave you or forsake you. I mean, I will be with you always to the very end of the age. Aish. There are promises that speak, and you just cling on truth, and we believe and wait on truth. Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your life. We thank you for your truth. Indeed, we cannot exhaust our moments with you. We cannot exhaust our time with you. We are grateful that you love us, you're concerned for us, and you're in charge over everything. May we continue to dwell in your presence, to wait on you, to depend on you, and to trust in you. We exalt your holy name. We magnify you, Lord, and we lift up your holy name. Be with us, strengthen us, and encourage us. Thank you for this time with you. Indeed, two or three are gathered in your name. You're right there in the midst. And thank you that you've been here. And we love you. Oh, God, we bless your name. Thank you for the answers. Thank you for the things that you've spoken. Clear our minds, clear our hearts. Let us hear you clearly. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.